Hallelujah. There is a flood coming. But the Lord is telling his people, do not be afraid. Do not be afraid. Do not be afraid. The Spirit of the Lord within you will preserve you. The Spirit of the Lord within you will show you what to do, how to stand, how to walk. He's sending healing this morning. Did you hear that word? How many of you heard that word? Healing. Remember, when the Lord sends a word, it's a now word, and it's activated by your faith. So if that word struck a chord inside of you and you needed the healing, then that's when you claim that healing, right then, right then. If you're the only one that needed healing, he would send the word for you. But there were more than one that needed that healing. And how many of you, what kind of healing did you hear the Lord say he was sending this morning? Healing of the mind, yes. Double-mindedness, yes. Trauma, yes. What else? The land, healing of the land, amen. I believe in that. Heaviness, amen. What else? I didn't hear that. Marriages, yes, he's healing marriages. What else? Old mindsets, yes. Yes, that was very clear. Old mindsets. I heard healing of harassment. Any of you been harassed by the enemy? There was also another word, tormenting spirit. The enemy comes into torment. God said he was sending healing today. This was a very important word that came forth. The prophet began to deliver that word, she said that God said he was stirring up the waters. Now remember, the scripture says that each of us has a variety of ministries and gifts, but it all works together. And this morning session is the session when you hear and deliver the word. Your ears are being trained to hear what God is saying. So I'm going to ask you a lot of questions because I want to hear what you have heard. He said through Eleanor that I'm stirring up the waters of healing. Now, what did that bring to mind right away? He's stirring up the waters of healing. Is there a scripture? Yes, the pool at Bethesda. And what happened? Yes, he had waited 30 years for his healing. That's right. But he was still there waiting. And the minute the water stirred, and Jesus' compassion on him, asked him a question. What did he ask him? Do you want to be healed? Do you want to be healed? Do you know some people do not want to be healed? I remember when I was traveling with Nita back in the days when there was such a powerful healing stream going through her. People were being healed of miraculous things, crippling things. And one person, I can't remember if it was a man or a woman, told her she didn't want to be healed because then she would lose her SSI payments from the government. Oh, I was stunned. Because what would God do? Would he cause her to go into poverty? Heal her and then have her sit on the road homeless? No, he would make provision for her. He would make a new way for her. But she was looking at the old and it was fear-based. That's why I mention frequently about dealing with your fear. Hidden fear can hold you back. Remember when I shared last night about when discerning of spirits was prophesied over me and it scared me? I mean, I thought that meant I'd just be seeing demons all over the place. I didn't want to see demons. So I rejected that and it led me into error because I didn't have that gift sharp. But God had to show it to me so I could repent. The thing of when you're in a gathering like this, where the Spirit of God is so powerfully moving, it's so each individual can hear what you need to do, what your next step is. Because, you know, the preacher will get up here, the prophet will get up here, and they throw out a blanket word over the whole audience. But somewhere in your spirit, faith has to rise and lay hold of the word, and then that general word becomes personal to you. Then it will affect you. That's why sometimes you'll hear a word and you think, well, that doesn't have anything to do with me. Maybe it's not a right word. No. Somebody needed that word. If it was one person, God stirred that water for one person. And he said, I have no man to put me in the water. When the man was standing in front of him. Listen, the man. Whoa. Jesus. Behold the man. Behold. He's standing in front of you. And he's waiting for you personally. He's made a way for you. I want you to hear what he said. He's stirring up the waters of healing. He said, take a step forward and sit with me, and I will heal you inside and out. I will cause your identity to come forth. Now, he's telling you to take a step and sit. He's telling you to listen to him, to quiet yourself on the inside, to hear what he's saying to you. I always jot down notes because I know that God is speaking to me. If he's speaking, I'm going to lay hold of that word and claim it for myself, activated. I was so glad to see so many come forward when the healing of the mind was mentioned, because the minute they stepped into that pool of healing, something began to happen in their minds that shifts things in the mind. You know, the scriptures teach us that the carnal mind is at enmity with God. Your natural understanding is limited to this world, to what you understand. God is so much greater than that. He is so much more wonderful than that. And so much of old religious teaching has taught us to fear God, because one of the things I've become so aware of as I traveled is how much of the church functions with a fear-based Christianity rather than faith-based. But the world, for many people, is a very dangerous, scary place. Nothing is stable. Nothing is secure. You have to do certain things to succeed. There's a constant press on you to overcome, constant. When in the kingdom, God says, sit. Listen. Let me do it. Let me speak to you. Let me heal your mind. And it takes a simple act. That precious man by the pool of Bethesda who was crippled, he'd been in that state for many years, very disillusioned, watching so many. He was literally watching miracles take place, and he could not partake. Because every time someone stepped in that pool, the first one who stepped in was healed. Which means he was there all those years watching one after another, stepping in before him, because he couldn't get into the pool. And here they'd step in, and I'll bet there were times when he was just about ready. He poised at the edge of the pool, watching it for the stirring of the water, waiting. And then the water begins to be troubled, and he lifts his foot, and someone runs in ahead of him, and he misses it. But he came to a day. There was a day. This is the day when the healing is extended to you. And you step in. No one can step in ahead of you, because one of the words that came forth that was so clear is the healing waters is inside of you. So when you feel that stirring on the inside, that's when you move to claim the word. That's for me. That's for me. Whether you have to leap to your feet to claim it, and it can come in a song. I heard the word of the Lord coming forth in songs this morning. Pay attention to the songs. I kid you not, when Jose and Teresa began to sing the song about open the windows of heaven, oh my, there's something on the inside that opens to the Lord. That song, it's like that song unlocks something that connects you with the eternal realm. You are a natural human being. You have to live your life. I mean, let's be honest. You have to live here. You eat, you sleep, you raise your children, you suffer, you pay your bills, you face different kinds of trauma. But you are not just a natural being. You are a spirit being also. And that's the part of you that's connecting with the King. Some people never know to open their heart to Him. They don't know how. I've had people tell me, I don't feel anything. I don't know how to open my heart. It's because of the hardness of the heart that comes through life's trauma. When you're traumatized in your life, there's a certain hardness that comes to the heart. It's a protection for you. Actually, it's a blessing that you're able to harden your heart like that. But there comes a moment when the King begins to knock. And He begins to ask for entrance. And I tell the men this all the time, because they're particularly trained in this, that the minute something gets tender on the heart, men are actually very tender, very compassionate. But they've learned to harden their heart because they live in a rough and tumble world, right? King of the mountain, who can be the first to do whatever? Who's the best hunter? Who's the best whatever? So they learn to harden, right? But Jesus is training the men to let down the guard. Come on. Come on, let it down. Open your heart. Vulnerable. Vulnerable. You choose to do it. And I understand it's easier for women. I know that. We are wired a certain way. But it's very important in this hour for our men to learn how to be a man of the Spirit like Jesus was. Jesus was very tender and very strong. He overturned the tables of the money changers. He made himself a whip and began to knock things over. I mean, he turned everything upside down in the temple. He could have been killed. It was a very irreverent thing that he was doing. They could have just hauled him out of there. But he was bold. And yet he was tender. He wept over Lazarus. He wept over Jerusalem. Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem. How I would have gathered you under my wings as a hen gathers her chicks. Isn't that a tender heart? That's Jesus. So, men, this is between you and God. No one else. Open your heart to the King. That's part of your coming up higher. And women, I'm going to give you a caution. Years ago, when I was learning how to function in the things of the Spirit, the Lord gave me a vision. I was worshiping. And He showed me my hand like this. And settling into my hand was a soap bubble, a big one. Beautiful, all kinds of colors. And I suddenly knew what that meant. He said, I am giving you access, Mary, to the hearts of my people. Then I saw the hand go like this and the bubble popped. And he said, but you must be careful how you handle those hearts, for I will hold you accountable. Woo! The fear of the Lord hit my heart. And boy, I'll tell you what, I will dance around carefully. If God gives me any kind of correction whatsoever for anybody, I go to the Lord and cry out, oh, Father, how can this be shared in a way that will not damage, in a way that will be kind? Women, be very kind with the guys because they are learning to open their heart. And if you damage that heart when it's beginning to open, guess who God will hold accountable? Whew, scary deal, huh? But God said healing was on the inside of you. Healing will begin to flow. Listen, God said he was stirring it now, and then he said, let me get inside of you in a new way. Step out and step in and let me do what the healing waters do. Step out and step in and let me step in the pool with you. There's healing of the mind today. Where there has been double-mindedness, harassment, and tormenting spirit, there is healing for your mind today. So step out, and I will make you whole. Only God can do something like that. Only God. I don't know how many of you used to attend my home care group when I was over at ACC. Do you remember our two schizophrenic brethren that came? We had two schizophrenics. I loved them. They came. One of them, bless his heart, was very self-focused, old issues, victim, pitiful. The other one started memorizing scripture. Every time we had a prayer, time for prayer, he'd stand in the line for prayer. And when he first started coming, he was wearing a wool cap, an old camouflage jacket, and he shied away. You could not touch him. He was always talking about guns and knives and blood and, you know, blood and guts and scary stuff to keep people away. But it didn't scare me because I have a brother who's schizophrenic. I was very familiar with that particular malady. So he kept coming, and one day I noticed out of the corner of my eye, because I'd hug everybody who came in the room, he was edging. He wasn't looking at me. But he was edging closer. So I was very careful. I could see him coming. I just waited. And then he put his head on my shoulder. I knew something inside of him had decided to trust. Something inside of him decided to be vulnerable again. Something inside of him began to heal from that point on. He became one of our, one of the guys in our group that if I could not find a scripture, because I'll know scripture but not the references, he always had the references. He was like a little walking concordance. And he'd sit in the front row and he'd give me the references. Praise God, I was thankful for him. Great guy. But I know he didn't fit in with a traditional church service. He scared people. But I watched over the years as he got better and better and better until finally he was reevaluated by the Veterans Administration and taken off his medication because they couldn't find his schizophrenia. Healing. It started someplace. So when you began to believe God for the healing of your mind, I know that I know that I know God started the healing immediately. The minute you claimed it, the minute you said, me, whatever you did to step forward. Whew. Is there anyone here who really feels like they do need a healing of the mind right now? I want you to do a stepping forward. Stand up. Come on. You're going to step forward. Okay, get out in the aisle where you can step forward, because the word that came said to step into your healing. Step, take a step and sit with me, and I will heal you inside and out. I will create your identity for you. So we're going to do a prophetic act, a simple, simple prophetic act. God loves simple things. He said, step forward. We are going to take one step forward. And then lift your heart to the Lord immediately and lay hold of the healing that you need. Can you do that? Just simple act. Okay, let's take a step forward together. Hallelujah. Heal. I receive that healing today, Lord. Come on. I receive that healing today. Open your heart. Open your heart. Let your faith ignite the word. Take hold of it. I receive it. Now thank him. Thank him for it. Thank you for healing me. Thank you for touching me. Thank you for changing me. Thank you for honoring your word. Thank you for whatever this thing is that you need healing for. Thank him for healing you. Thank you for, some of you have been damaged. You've damaged your brain through drugs. Some of you have damaged your brains through alcohol. Some of you have damaged your brains through trauma or trauma done to you. Some of it's been physical training. Some of you were born that way. God says healing today. Healing today. Hallelujah. With a little step forward, a little act of faith, it activates something in the spirit. It is that simple. He makes sure you can do it. So please be seated. Glory. Ooh. Then came the song, I will make you whole in your mind and in your soul. Whew, that was very important. Not just in your mind, which is a part of your soul, but he mentions specifically your soul. What is your soul? Your mind, your will, and your emotions. Now, he said he would heal that today. Now, I talk to women about this frequently. No PMS. Come on. Guys, you don't need to know about that part. You know that testy time of the month when you get irritated, a little edgy. You know, just a little edgy. Or, menopause. Anything that affects your emotions, the Spirit of God will quiet and heal. Take a deep breath. I kid you not, I have practiced this from the time I was very young, and it really works. I could tell when there's that little edge I could feel on the inside. Usually one of my children would point it out to me. And then I'd say, oh, all right. I'd slip away to the bedroom, lock the door, kneel down, open my heart, and say, heal me, Lord. Quiet my soul. Bring my soul into a place of healing. Bring my soul into a place of healing. Come on. Come on. This is just practical business. Practical. Guys, you can do it also. Guys tend to deal with issues with anger. Anger is a more, women can have anger also. I'm very familiar with that. But anger, God will give you opportunity to overcome anger. A lot of times anger is rooted, the root of it is fear or pain. And you react in anger. I'll give you an example. My husband and I had taken our children to Fairbanks for one of the fairs up there. And my daughter was maybe about 3. We're walking across the street and she pulled away from me and turned and ran into the street. as a car was barreling down the road and the car slammed its brakes on and skidded sideways and almost hit her. I was so mad at her. Why was I mad at her? Fear. It scared the liver out of me. Fear was at the root of that. But God began to deal with me about anger issues because in my family, there's the generational spirit of anger that had to be broken. And I began to use the word of the Lord because somebody, some precious soul, got up to the mic in Abbott Loop in the chapel there and began to prophesy that God will deliver your soul. And my ears picked that up and I knew, ooh, that's the anger. So he was making it personal for me because that's what I was dealing with. So I began to claim that word. And at the time I was homeschooling my youngest. And I was teaching him one day that shortly thereafter. And he turned to me and he said, "Mom, why are you angry?" And I said, "Oh, baby, I'm not angry." He said, "Well, your voice is." And my eyes opened and I realized I was angry. But I was trying to be sweet. I was trying to be nice. But this discerning little man called me on it. So I told him I wasn't angry with him, that I asked him to pray for me. And he did. He laid his hands on me and prayed this powerful little sixth grader prayer. And then I gave him his assignment and I went in the bedroom and knelt down. And I began to apply that word that had just come and I began to claim it because the word is activated by faith. And God was showing me the hidden anger in my heart and I brought it to him and I felt a release. Hallelujah, it's over with. So I went back and I continued the lesson. No more than 5 minutes later, I'm angry again. So I excused myself, went back to the bedroom, knelt and prayed, and I had to do warfare against that anger because it was in my family line. Remember that? It didn't have to have a reason. It was attached. I think I excused myself. Dave didn't have a lot of lessons that day. But I kept having to excuse myself and go to the bedroom to deal with this thing until finally it broke and didn't come back. Come on. God spoke today about the healing of the soul. Whenever you get a word like that, you have soul issues. I don't have a clue what they are. And to be really honest, I don't care. You know, come on. If I were to care for I can't care for everybody's soul issues. I have trouble dealing with my own. But you care. Jesus cares for you. Here's what I do care about. I want all of you to come up higher with us so when whatever this thing is that is being represented by a flood, a tsunami, an earthquake, a catastrophe, whatever it is, however it hits, you will rise above it. That's what I want. That's what I care about. I want not just you to rise above it. I want your family to come with you. Because you're not, I kid you not, no parent is going to go in without their family. If your family is not going to make it, listen, I can tell you what the mother's heart says. If my family doesn't go in, I'm not going in either. I'll say, if they're going under, I'm going under with them. But isn't that the heart of Jesus? He looked at the earth, and there Adam and Eve had entered into sin, and they were losing something valuable. So Jesus said, "I'll go with them." And the Father sent him to die on a cross for us so that where we went, he could go and deliver us forever. That is a holy, wonderful thing. So bring your family with you. I know some of them are reprobates. I mean, I had a family full of reprobates. And boy, no one can be, well, it seemed to me that the Haidas were the worst of the worst. I love the Haidas. That's my tribe. But boy, were they warriors. I mean, they're just wild guys. My aunt told me, never marry a Haida, Mary. But I love them. I want them coming in. I want that old generational strength broken and them coming into the freedom of the King. I love it when I see different ones in their cultures, that they're not going in alone. I ministered in Eckernförder, Germany, at a Viking church. The pastor and his wife were Vikings, pure Viking. Vikings were wild. They were the Haidas of the European continent. Wild, rough. Eleanor met them. I mean, they had a coffee and wine bar in the back of the church. They were a lot of fun. They also had started a heavy metal church for the heavy metal gang. Yeah, they had, I don't remember how many they had come to Christ at the time we were there. But this whole section of the church, all black leather and piercings and wild hair. And I loved them. I wore my black leathers for them, my Harley jacket. But God is delivering the people. This couple were standing in the gap for their people. So their people would come into liberty. So as you're standing in the gap for your family, I want you to extend your prayer. Let it grow. Let it get bigger. Don't just be self-focused. Begin to pray for the families in Anchorage or Alaska. God put Alaska on my heart when I was still just a teenager. And I have carried Alaska ever since. And I carry her before the throne of God. Whenever I'm praying for something for my family, I also lift up Alaska. Alaska, Father, come on. Let the fear of the Lord fall upon our family and let it hit Alaska. Let Alaska be bathed with the fear of the Lord. God has given Alaska some shocking prophetic words. I absolutely believe those shocking prophetic words. He wouldn't say it. You know, God doesn't just flap his gums for no reason. He's always looking for someone who will believe what he's saying. If somebody will believe, if you're in an audience and one person believes and the whole audience does not believe, God is going to look for that one person standing in the gap, and that's the one he'll listen to. I have stood in the gap for this church for over 20 years. And lo and behold, he brings us back here. Isn't that a shocker? Isn't that a shocker, Jude? Yeah. Why? Because somebody believed the word for this church. I believe the word for this church. Hey, yes, Joni, I believe the word for this church. This church was called to impact all of Alaska. This church was called to birth ministries all over the state. This church was called to be a pillar in the north. We need this church. We need it. And we need you. We need what God has placed in you. We have to have it. Now, listen. Oh, he said something else. When he was talking about healing the soul, he said, I will come inside you in a new way. For I will make new pathways in your mind, and the enemy will get behind you. I love that. Let's leave the enemy behind. Let's stop looking back. Remember that word? Was anyone not here yesterday? Did you not hear the dream that I shared? Okay, there were some of you. Okay, well, I'm going to share it again quickly. because I feel it's significant for where we are going. I was in Corinth, Texas, with Eleanor just this last week, and as we were getting ready to leave, we had come into a place where there was an open heaven, an amazing visitation of the Lord was present, and God sent me a dream. Here's the dream. I dreamt, and I'm going to ask you for input. So put on your interpretation ears now. I dreamt that my granddaughter Nicole and her two of her children, Tori, a little girl, and Lyndon, a little boy, and I, there were four of us, were on the third floor of the Captain Cook. And over the television set, the announcer said that a huge tsunami was coming because there'd just been an earthquake. We began taking down any objects that might fall over. I went to the balcony and I looked out of our window and I could see the tsunami approaching on the horizon. I picked up the phone and I called Judith Green on the phone to warn her. She's a prophet. The tsunami hit the Captain Cook building and it began to rise. And as I was watching, it was washing away buildings and structures. And the wave of the tsunami reached our third floor and we were soon ankle deep in water. I began to load supplies into a Zodiac boat. You know what a Zodiac boat is? That one of those rubber boats? I had prepared food and water, and I began to load them into the Zodiac boat. And when I looked out the window, all I could see was water. The water was now knee-deep in our room, and it was still rising. And I heard the words, "Anchorage is gone, Anchorage is gone." And I woke up knowing I needed to warn people to get to higher ground. Now remember, I don't want you to interpret this out of fear. Tell me what God's speaking to you about with this dream. How are you hearing it? Yes. Yes.
This is telling you that he's taking us to new territories. And with him being a new explorer, he also traveled in a vessel. We are the vessel, but it was a boat. You are in a Zodiac, so there's your tie-ins.
And Sherry. The Captain Cook represents a ship. A place of safety. So me and my family, my descendants, were in a place of safety. Thank you, Sherry. Someone else, yes.
You were putting water into the boat. You are preparing. And so the Lord wants us to be prepared right here. Wow. Amen. Yeah.
Excellent. Yes. Yes, I was already prepared. I had the food and water stored up. Yes. Excellent. She said that he's coming to shake everything that can be shaken and to break anything that can be broken. I was taking things down that were unstable. And boy, you're reading my notes. Absolutely. Robert.
I thought it was significant also as far as the Captain Cook. But you were in the Captain Cook, and I agree with what the lady said. But you were in there with your grandkids, which speaks of the generations. And it's going to impact the generations of this state and our generations.
Amen. Amen. Yes. Yes. Generations. Third floor. Yes.
Paul. Talking about the third heaven.
Yes. Paul and the third heaven. That's also another thing the Lord did speak to me about. Nancy.
Anchorage is gone. Anchorage is gone. What I'm hearing is the way Anchorage has been, and the anchor here is gone because he's going to shift everything, and that's going to wash away that old.
That's very important because an anchorage, I actually had Nancy look it up. It's a place where boats anchor. We're no longer going to be anchored in one place. We're going to be moving out. Watching out in that.
Launching out in the zodiac.
Yes. Stars. And I just realized something. Into the heavenlies. I live in Zodiac Manor subdivision. I just now realized that. Hallelujah. Yes, Joni. Yes, temporary housing. Yes, I was in a place of temporary housing. I think it's real important for us to know that our home is not here. We're just passing through. So we won't tenaciously hold on to something when God is telling us to let go of it. Yes, David.
The third floor speaks of the third day. We're entering into that millennial rest. Also, you know, the third season, the tabernacle speaks of, you know, entering into the Holy of Holies with God.
And he did tell us to step in and rest with him, sit with him. Dorothy. Fullness of the Godhead. Amen.
Water equals a people. There's a group of people that's flooding in. And I heard the Lord say that because you were already prepared, you are going to be preparing all these people that flood in.
You know, I think that's so true. When I woke up from the dream, I felt like God spoke to me and said, bring the people up higher, higher ground. So the provision is for the people. So what you prepare for today is to help the people tomorrow when they come in to this place. There's another meaning that God spoke to me about. I did a little research on Captain Cook, and of course he sailed up Turnagain Arm, right? Did you know that the prophets are saying that this year is a year of secrets revealed, but it's also the year of turnaround? God's going to turn around. When you've been going downhill, he's going to turn it around. You're going to go uphill. When things have been stolen from you, he's going to turn it around and restore back to you. There's a turnaround. And some prophets have said it's a boomerang year. So be careful what you send out and speak, for it will come back upon you. That which you speak. This is a turnaround, Turnagain year. It was called Turnagain because Captain Cook came up thinking he would find a passageway, but he had to turn his boat around, and they named the inlet Turnagain. So, boy, I'll tell you what, God is speaking loudly through that dream. It's not something to fear, but it's something when God brings a word like this, it's a blessing word. He's saying, come up higher and get ready. It's coming. Sherry. Now, does that bring a scripture to your mind? Yep. Yep, Ezekiel 47. To be waters to swim in. And when waters change topography like that in a dream, that means all the familiar landmarks are shifting and changing. You're not going to be able to depend on the old, but you must hear the new. Yes.
That flood that you were talking about, as we know, it's in the spirit. And that flood is the flood of the living waters. It's a flood of the Holy Ghost. It's a flood of the glory of God. Amen. And things happen in the glory.
Ooh. Now you guys are preaching my message.
broadcasting, the news was broadcasting about the flood right before it happened. But you were prepared ahead of time, so it seemed like the general knowledge of it didn't come to people until the very last minute. So if they weren't prepared ahead of time, they were not going to be able to participate.
That's where the buildings that were being washed away, homes being washed away, because they weren't ready. Oh.
You mentioned that when the move came in, old structures were removed, old mindsets, religious structures. So the move of the Holy Ghost that's coming is going to be removing old structures, old mindsets, and that's glorious.
Oh, it's really glorious. Boy, I don't know about you, but I love it when God shows me when I need to shift, even if I have to shift in doctrine. Whew. You know, some of us become cemented in our doctrine. I mean, I grew up in the Salvation Army. I love the Salvation Army. But they started out as spirit-filled lads and lassies in London, and they were leading people to Christ that were right on the brink of falling into hell. And William Booth had a vision of that, and he launched an army of evangelists. But by time I started growing up in the Salvation Army, they turned away from the Holy Ghost, and they no longer believed in the power of the Holy Spirit. So I had to have that removed, that teaching removed from my mind, so I would come into the fullness of the Spirit. Praise God that He does that. You know, some of you need to ask God, is there any doctrinal teaching that I've held to that is no longer valid? May have been valid for a season, like scaffolding is valid for a season when you're building a structure, or a playpen is valid for a season to keep a child safe, but when it's no longer necessary, it needs to be removed. I ask God all the time, is there anything in me, anything, you know, is there any wicked way in me? Examine me, O God. Shine the light on it, because I don't know. I think I'm a nice lady. And here I am, God showing me a sin I had 25, 30 years ago that I didn't even know was sin. Didn't even cross my mind. So do examine your own heart. Janet. Right, or it'll sink your boat. Right, that's a good word. True. Yes, someone else. Oh.
Your dream is the story of Noah. It's building, it's being prepared. His family was the only one that really was prepared. Everybody else just kind of did their own thing, and then at the last minute, God was the one that shut the door. So he's really telling us time is coming. We're going to see something similar to the story of Noah. And it's just a modern day version. Your dream was really a modern day version of that.
Thank you. That's good. As it was in the days of Noah.
Oh, whoop. I'm diving into this.
And talking about Noah, when God told Noah, Noah, build me an ark. So Noah, by faith, the word of God says he built an ark. And that ark that he built actually was a supernatural ark. You know, he filled it with pitch, you know, smeared it with pitch, you know. And so in the same way, we're building a supernatural ark. Yeah, by going to church, by praying for others, by reading his word, we're building a supernatural ark.
Yes. Woo, yes, absolutely. As it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the days of the Son of Man. Yes.
Things that came to my mind, because I had written this down earlier from a dream I had. You were alert and you were not in fear. People of God need to be alert and not in fear. And when I had a powerful dream Thursday night, 1:15:15, of a violent rolling earthquake in my bed, I became alert and woke up, ran into my husband and said, "Did we just have an earthquake?" He said, "No." And I'm holding onto the wall going, "I still hear it in the spirit realm, Conrad." And I went back to bed. I wasn't in fear, but I was very alert. Amen.
And in the morning, the Holy Spirit visited me. As I'm blow-drying my hair, I thought, you, Holy Spirit, are up to something.
When did you have this dream?
1:15:15, Thursday night. And he visited me yesterday morning when I was looking forward to coming. I did not get to come last night. I'm like, oh, I knew he was up to something.
Thursday is when I had my dream, too. That's good. Yes, he's up to something. There's no doubt about that. Boy, that's exciting to me. Glory to God, because he's letting us know in advance. Yes, in the back. Wait.
What I was feeling about it is when you're talking about being in the Captain Cook, it's a place where when you're around that place, the people in the rooms are kind of hidden. They're in their place, and it's an expensive place to be. It has a price to it. And what I was feeling is in this time that we're in right now, we all know there's a shifting going on. And what I've been feeling in my spirit, and I don't know if you are, is that God is bringing out people who've been hidden in the dark. And they're coming out, and the true prophets are coming out.
And there is a price. You do pay a price to come in. It'll cost you time. It'll cost you energy. And it'll cost you doing what you want to do. And you're picking up on what God wants you to do. Yes, did you have something?
Well, actually, I saw something, two things that were totally different. The scripture is that the glory cover the earth like the waters cover the sea. But we're also seeing a natural thing, because the Lord spoke to me and he said that time is running out, eternity is running in. The natural is coinciding in with the glory. And when I saw you with the Kodak, it was like you were becoming flexible, but we still have to deal with the natural world, even though the glory of God is coming.
Right. That's very good. We are a natural people. We are very naturally supernatural.
So I was looking up the word tsunami, and it's a Japanese word, and it means harbor wave. And so the first part, tsu, means harbor. Mm-hmm. The second part, nami, means wave. And so I looked up the word harbor, and it says a part of a body of water along the shore deep enough for anchoring a ship and so situated with respect to coastal features, whether natural or artificial, as to provide protection from winds, waves, and currents. And so this spiritual wave that's coming in, the third floor meant a third generation. So that spiritual wave is going to impact a third generation. So you're the first generation, your kids are the second, and your grandkids are the third generation.
That's excellent. That's excellent. That's very good. Yes. Now look at how God speaks through his body to form a picture, a more complete picture. And I have found again and again, because God does send me dreams, but I have a limited understanding until I hear from the body. And then when I hear from the body, it suddenly gets bigger and bigger, and then I see what God's saying. So you have to be wise when you're hearing from the Lord to have people around you that you can share with that can help you process, so you don't suddenly start telling people a big tsunami is going to hit Anchorage and it'll be gone. You know, because that obviously is not what God is saying. You have to look at the whole picture and get the whole counsel of God on any revelation that you receive. It always starts with the word. So I went to Ezekiel 47 and reread the scriptures about the waters that were ankle deep, knee deep, thigh deep, and waters to swim in. And it was a river of life. Everywhere that the river went, there was life. So we're talking about a massive move of the Lord that's going to bring life everywhere it goes. But it will change our way of life. It will. How many of you were here when that outpouring took place in the late 60s, early 70s? 1, 2, 3, okay, 4. Some of you weren't even born yet. It was, the air was electric. You could hardly, I used to get to church 2 hours early because the best seats were in the front because you could see the miracles. And so the church would be packed, so I'd get there early because the power of God was flowing. And people were being absolutely and totally healed. I was healed numerous times. My daughter, who at that time was 60% deaf, was totally healed by the Lord. One of my dear friends in Bible school had a glass eye that God gave a real eye to her. My dear friend Denise, I know. She started to shriek and cover her eye. People thought something was wrong with her. But what happened is her glass eye was now having light come in, and the light was so brilliant she started to shriek because she had a glass eye in that socket before. Now she had a real eye. And nobody laid hands on her. It was the anointing in the room. And her faith laid hold of a word, and instantly she got a new eye. That's the kind of anointing that's coming. Only what the Lord has shown us is that it's going to be twice as powerful as it was back then. So get ready. It will change your life. You will never be the same. So now start storing up the word. Start stirring your faith. Start letting go of old junk. Come on. Let it go of it. We're coming into something so holy and so powerful, your joy will be indescribable. You'll have a hard time sleeping. We'd come home after a service, and oh my goodness, we could hardly sleep. I would be pacing, because my spirit was leaping and rejoicing. There was an incredible joy on the land, and people were coming to Christ effortlessly. They'd come to your door and ask you to lead them to the Lord. If that, the harvest will come in. Let me tell you, the harvest will come in. God has shown all of Alaska impacted by the harvest. I saw it sweeping down from the northwest coast of Alaska, and it covered every village, every city, every people group. We're impacted by the power of this wave of the Holy Ghost glory. And it's far beyond anything we know. And listen to what the prophets of old said. Do you remember the last meeting that several words came about going back over old prophecies? Do you remember that? I've been doing that. How many of you have been doing that? You've been obeying that word. He told us to go back to the old prophecies. Wow. Wait till you hear what I found. Woo. Look to the north, for I will begin to bring a change in the streams that are in the northern land. I will begin to, from the north, release our nation, a stream of revival that will even impact the Islamic nations. Linda Heidler saw Eskimo women arising this hour in revival. It's as if an army began to arise through the Eskimo women of this land, and a wave of revival began to sweep down. It was as if the Spirit of God that had arisen in the Eskimo women could not be stopped in this land. The glory of God that was beginning to move would sweep over the entire nation. And then he said, I'm going to place a watchman anointing upon Alaska, my church in Alaska. Even as the enemy would arise with a plan, an attempt of invasion would come by Russia and China joining hands in the days ahead. You will prepare my church to rise in such a way they will know the plan of the enemy, they will take their stand, and they will become the watchmen for the northern earth. And they will begin to declare what I am saying. Many will hear the word, my word from the state of Alaska, and the whole nation will awaken because of the voice of my people in that land. Whoa, God is coming to visit the earth. Once his order is in place, remember we talked about place last night. He's talking about that place, that supernatural connection in the Lord. Once my order is in place, the glory of the Lord is coming in an unprecedented way that we have never seen before. I'm beginning to polish my people. He started a polishing. Now, what do you think of when you think of polishing? A press. Rubbing off all the rough spots. Removing all the blinders. He started that. And we have been going through it for a purpose. For this hour. For the glory that is set ahead of us. Jesus Christ, for the glory that was set in front of him, the joy that was set in front of him, endured the cross, despising its shame, because he saw something. He saw you. He saw this day coming, and it was worth it to him. Come on, Jesus is with us. Yes, we've been going through some really hard times, really hard, crushing times, but we're still standing. I was telling my friend David that. David was a part of our early group, and since then there's been a lot of battering from pillar to post, but we're still standing. We're still here. You're still here. We are still victorious, and we have a whole bunch of wonderful support that has moved in with us. Yay! Listen, once he gets us polished, then he's going to position us. And the last few years have been years of positioning, repositioning. Some of you have had to change locations. Some of you have had to change vocations. Some of you have had to shift even in your gifting. Like I felt my shifting had to take place. I had to re-embrace the word God gave me through that prophet many years ago, or I can't go in the fullness of who I am. And neither can you. God is repositioning. And then he said, whew, that he's going to restore the inheritance of his people. That which has been lost will come back during this season of restoration. Be prepared. There's that word preparing again. To receive your new identity so you can walk in your new authority. Then he spoke about the influence in government, a governmental anointing resting upon us. And he said, God is going to reveal secrets to you and show you the administration of the times. Remember, when God speaks a word, there's always timing to those words. These words were spoken some 25 years ago. And yet now is when it's starting to unfold. Because this year, 2015, is the Hebrew year, the Jewish year, 5775, which is the year of secrets being revealed. There's something that's hidden that's being exposed this year. And yet a prophet 25 years ago prophesied it for Alaska. He said, I'm going to shake you up so I can restore you. This is the time to begin to review your prophetic words. He spoke that 25 years ago, but now is the time for that word that was back then, because now the prophet is saying, review your prophetic words. So now is the time when those words, those old words that were spoken years ago, are now coming to fruition. The anointing is upon them now. So I've been going back over old words, boy, and I'm claiming them like crazy. Even the wild ones. Woo! Hallelujah. Let's do it, Jesus. Okay. And then he said, he spoke about entire family units being restored. He spoke about a move in prison. We've had that move in our prison. I can't quite remember the year, but we had such a big move in the prisons in Alaska that all the prisons came into revival. The chaplain, I was in the meeting when the chaplain of the prison system, it was Chaplain Inch at the time, he came in to give a report. He said, I don't know what's happening, but all the prisons are under revival. Ketchikan Correctional Center, had so many people, men coming to Christ, they started calling it Ketchikan Christian Center. In the Palmer Jail, prison, Debbie Kyle was there. It was after Rodney Howard Brown had laid hands on her. She's ministering to the prisoners, and they started falling under the power of the Spirit. So the guards got all shaken up and ran into the room, and they got slain in the Spirit the minute they came in the room. Listen, that word that the prophet declared has come to pass. Our women's prison, at the time the word was delivered, we had 60 women in the women's prison downtown, and 55 of them came to Christ. Whoa. He said he was going to release a new strength. You're going to have favor with the authorities around you. And he said it gave us instructions what we are to do. He's going to cause South America. We're going to influence South America. And when we had our two-continent prayer meeting, pole-to-pole meeting, I'd mobilized Alaska, Canada, all the way down the West Coast and the center part of America to pray with us. But I didn't have the contacts I needed in South America. So we prayed. And I got this email from this gentleman in South America. Now listen to what he said. This is just like a month before we were having this pole-to-pole prayer meeting. He said God told him that he and the intercessors in South America were to pray for a pole-to-pole, he used the same words we did, prayer meeting. And he said, I have South America mobilized, but I don't know anybody in North America who is doing this. Can you help us? Do you remember that, David? Yeah, we had that pole-to-pole prayer meeting. God orchestrated South America for us. You know, nobody can take credit. It's only God. Pole to pole. He covered both continents with prayer. So, with a wonderful move of God. And look at this. He said, Barrow is an important, important place in this state. And he said, I see a mantle of healing and a mantle of evangelism. Entire villages will be saved. And I don't know how many of you were aware of Abraham George, who prayed last night. Abraham George is the Eskimo man who was raised from the dead. And he carries his medical records with him. And he'll go into some villages. He was speaking in his native language. And the whole village would come to Christ, just like the prophet said. So God is fulfilling the prophetic word that has been spoken over our state. So what should we do? Hearing these things, what should we do? Prepare. How will you prepare? Yes, Manakotik was... Yes, Manakotik, the whole village came to Christ. Joni. Be in unity. Yes. Don't pay attention to people who are throwing rocks. Just be in unity with them. Just love them. Listen and obey. Yes. Yes, Linda. Yes, agree with the word and declare it. Yes, pray for the land to remove strongholds in the land. That's very important, especially for the First Nations people in this land. You have an authority to remove those strongholds. Someone else. How are you going to prepare? Yes, honey. Yes. Spending time in your prayer closet. Yes. Yes, step forward in what God is telling you to do. Amen. Yes.
I was just pondering that word, anchorage, again. And anchorage, the Captain Cook, the ship, represents ministries. And if the anchor is in the harbor and it doesn't get pulled up so that ship can go out, it will be destroyed by the waves that come. So the ministries that we are all maybe operating in, or he's saying that pull up your anchor and get into those deep waters that God has called you into. Otherwise, that wave will come and destroy your ship.
Excellent, excellent. Yes.
Something keeps coming to me, and it's, you were in a zone yet.
Yes.
It looks very different than a ship.
Yes, it does. That Captain Cook had. Yes. It looks very different. Some people would say, that can't carry. What needs? Too small. Doesn't look right. Doesn't have the sails. Isn't built right. God's got another plan.
Guilty. You're right. Thank you. Yes, our boat may not look very important to anybody, but boy, it's sufficient for us. It's sufficient for us. Yes. Oh, wait.
I got a dream that I'm not sure if it applies or not, but it's. I think it may. I was in a group of people, in a large group, and we were learning a new business. Didn't know what type, but we were learning. And the classroom was told to use typewriters, not pads and pens to learn from, to record our thoughts. So we were all looking at each other, and it was odd. It was new. It was a different way to do things. But we did participate. So I don't know how that plays in. It's almost like something with the new. It's a key. You use keys with a typewriter, and it involves Word. So just thought I'd throw that out.
Excellent. He had this dream last night about using a typewriter, which does have keys, and it communicates. Oh, she said that lifeboat is the type of boat that's used when a ship is sinking. Yeah? Isn't that a good word? See, everybody has such wonderful revelation.
The Zodiac boats are designed for rough weather. And so they can ride through a storm that would capsize a larger ship, but it's still going to be a rough ride because they stay afloat by riding up each wave and down the other side, but it would flip a bigger boat. So you can make it through, but it's going to be a rough ride.
Woo, all right. Get ready for a rough ride. We're going to make it through. Yes, I believe that. Hallelujah. Glory, yes.
He also gave me a dream last night. And it was, I'm getting ready to go to Hawaii. We're going to go snorkeling. I'm kind of anticipating that. But we were going out. I was with a friend of mine. We were in the boat, and we have to go around to the cove, which I could see the cove where we wanted to go. And we have to get out in the ship and get into the water. For some reason, we got into the water to get around the cove. But I thought it was interesting that I could see the land where we came from, the boat, the water that we were in, and the cove where I wanted to go. But I heard him giving me specific instructions when we got in the water that these waves were going to come. But he told me how to overcome and to not be overtaken by the wave. And he told me to keep your eye on the wave. You watch the wave. You watch the top of it. Now, I didn't expect that it could be this big. This wave was gigantic. I mean, it was huge. So I'm watching the wave. I'm watching it come up, and I'm looking at the top of it. And he told me, now, when that wave gets right to the bottom, you can feel it just getting ready to come. You turn your back on it, and it'll come. And then right when you're in between the top of the wave and the ocean, you take a breath, and that's your safe place. And I remember thinking, and I remember taking that breath and thinking, wow, like, we're here in this pocket, and we're alive, and we're breathing, and we're okay. But I thought it was interesting that I could see where I came from, where I wanted to go, the ship. But was I going to stay in the water and trust him and breathe in that wave? And, yeah.
Yeah, that's good. That's a good dream. Hallelujah. Are you going? Yes. Yes. Hallelujah. Okay. Whew. All right.
We're done. Do you want to stand up? I want to pray for you. I just love the revelation God reveals through the Saturday morning gathering, because it sharpens our discernment. And I'm going to pray that you will hear from the Lord on how your discernment needs to be sharpened. One of the assignments that we have received as Alaskans is to pray about an incursion or an invasion from Russia. We've had three prophets deliver word to us, all within a short period of time, that you must do something about Russia. You must pray against that incursion of that Russian bear that wants to take over because of your resources. So it's critical that we pray regarding Russia. That's our assignment. We're not going to have Florida praying about Russia. We're not going to have North Dakota praying about Russia. That's Alaska's assignment. So we must pray together about Russia. Lift your hands up. Hallelujah. Father, fresh revelation. Let fresh revelation fall upon us. Give us dreams and visions and open our understanding in the name of Jesus. And Father, bring to our minds Russia so we'll know how to pray against that Russian bear that would try to invade Alaska. Father, protect our borders, protect our people, protect our economy, protect the church in Alaska. Let the church in Alaska come up higher and let us find our zodiac boats that will bring us into the heavenly realms so that we will be right on time with your spirit. Thank you, Father. I bless you in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.